And now for something completely different.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Let's do it.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. With you till 3 on this Football Friday with plenty to get to over the next few hours. Coming up, a big game for the Gamecocks here this weekend. Plus, we'll rank, as always, the most interesting games of the football weekend. We'll catch up with somebody who covers Tennessee to get the opponent's scouting report. And even though it's their bye week, we'll do a check-in on Clemson and what they need to get figured out here over the next week plus before playing Syracuse next week. Plus, we'll break down all the games in week 5 of the NFL season. I'll give you my picks as always. There's an obvious reason why things have gone the way they have so far in the NFL, and I'll share it with you later. And which team could potentially win their first ever Super Bowl this year. All that and more over the next few hours, and you can always join the conversation as well. 843-721-9500 to give us a call. You can always text the show, 843-608-1734. Get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays, on Facebook at ESPN Charleston, via email studio at kirkmanbroadcasting.com or online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Just click on our show page, and there you can leave a comment for the show. You can find the latest versions of the show podcasted right there, or you can take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go. Just stream us online at charlestonsportsradio.com. With you till 3 on this Friday. Got plenty to do over the next few hours. Joe's on the steel wheel. Joe, what's going on? How are you?
Oh, what's going on? It's Friday. It's a football Friday, and I'm looking forward to my Oklahoma Sooners beating Texas tomorrow.
That's right. Big game for you. I'll get my official picks later on.
And you have a pretty good road trip coming up because Citadel's taking on ETSU.
That's right.
You know, and remember, East Tennessee State started off the year beating Vanderbilt, not just beating them, but violating them.
Yeah, beating them by 20 in their place. Hold them to 3 points. Yeah, it'll be a very interesting game tomorrow for the Citadel. ETSU is undefeated. They're the number 12 team in the country for FCS football. So we'll have that tomorrow, 4:30 kick. Coverage begins at 3:30. As soon as we're done here this afternoon, we'll hop in the car and head that way. Picked up the car this morning from Cruise Chevy. Always appreciate them helping us out. And when I got into the car, turned the car on, it was programmed to right here, ESPN Radio. So I appreciate that. Somebody over there is listening. And appreciate them helping us all the time. So we'll hop in the car this afternoon, head over to ETSU. Get in there tonight. Fortunately, it's a little bit of a later kick tomorrow, so not that quick of a turnaround for us broadcasters, because, of course, that's the most important thing. And then we'll have that game tomorrow, come back, and do it all over again. Looking forward to it. Coverage begins at 3:30 on the network. The Bulldogs will be looking for their third straight win. ETSU will be looking to remain perfect. By the way, ETSU, since we're on the subject, they average to score almost 40 points a game. They have outscored their opponents in the first quarter 48-6. They have put games away early. They can score a bunch of points. They've sold out all their home games. It will be interesting tomorrow. Bulldogs will have to play a little keep away, shorten that game, come out with a quick start again, and try to beat one of the best teams in FCS football right now. We'll have that tomorrow starting at 3:30. But let me start with this. I've been saying it all week. I've been reminding you all week that at the start of the season, or even going back to the offseason when the schedules were first released, and you looked at the Gamecocks schedule, I thought this was the game to schedule. Halfway through the season, your first-year head coach against their first-year head coach. This is a big game for South Carolina. To this point, they have won the games they're supposed to. They've lost the games they're supposed to. And now they go on the road to Tennessee. I was surprised to see Tennessee favored by almost 11 points at home. I'm not sure what the look-ahead line was. I think that's a little inflated based off of their big win against Missouri this past week. But that's what makes it intriguing, is that Tennessee's coming off that big win. They're at home, and their offense is flourishing. Shane Beamer will be compared to Josh Heupel. because not only are those two programs very similar and in the arms race with one another to try to get back towards the SEC East, but they also hired the head coach at the same time and went a similar route to do so. We do it all the time in the NFL or even with college coaches, but more so in the NFL because that head coaching cycle is more covered. And you always compare him. Oh, he's the only coach left that was hired in 2017. They could have had this coach. They hired this coach. Oh, that coach went and won a Super Bowl. You're always compared to your peers when you're hired at the same time. If you start a new job at a company, they're not going to compare you, at least not a year in, to the guy who's been there for 10 years. They also won't compare you to someone who was hired maybe 2 years after you got there. But you'll be compared to the people that they brought you in with. Right, if they hire you and two others at the same time, and the easy comparison is a sales team, they bring in three new salesmen, and you're lagging behind the other two, not a good look. You can't fall back on the excuse of, well, you know, they were here before me. They're more familiar, more experienced. Now, you all start at the same time. They're doing better than you. And these were similar jobs and similar jobs done by the schools to find a replacement. But this is who you have to compete with and get past. First, if you're South Carolina, is a Tennessee. As you try to reach Georgia and even still Florida in that division, Kentucky now has passed you by, but Tennessee was always like the person you could point to and say, well, you know, things could always kind of be worse. Now, Tennessee may have had better programs in recent years, but they've always had the drama. They've always had higher expectations that they haven't been able to reach. They, too, had to make a coaching change. We had the story about the McDonald's bags. And you think, like, at least we're a little more settled around here. They're not doing much better over there. And so these two kind of going to be tied to the hip as they try to jostle with one another, pass one another, to become that next program to take a step up in the SEC East. Very similar. Right? Tennessee won three games last year. South Carolina won two last year. Both fired their coaches. Both coaches that they did fire, former defensive coordinators for Nick Saban. They fired a couple of defensive coaches who both worked for Saban and hired Josh Heupel is an offensive coach, and Shane Beamer, kind of like a CEO type. Certainly leans more offense than defense, but kind of just neutral. They went away from the defensive coordinator. The athletic directors in making this decision both went the familiar route. Danny White was hired as the new AD at Tennessee. He hired his former coach from UCF, Josh Heupel, to come with him to Tennessee. The Gamecocks had an opening. They bring back Shane Beamer, who was here the last time this program was at its peak, where it wanted to be. And now you compare these two, okay, 6 weeks in, halfway through your first season, how do you compare? Who's gotten off on the better foot, Shane Beamer or Josh Heupel? And we'll find out tomorrow. Now, if you want to compare the two, Heupel is an offensive coach. Tennessee, you can say their offense has been pretty darn good. Coming off 62 points against Missouri this past week, maybe that was more Missouri's defense than it was Tennessee's offense, but Tennessee right now has the second most yards per game in the SEC. They have the fourth most points scored per game in the SEC. They have an experienced quarterback who's playing well. He's second in the conference in quarterback rating, transferred in from Virginia Tech. So Heupel's specialty, that offense, is working out. For Shane Beamer, offense, not so much. The Gamecocks have been led by their defense. Luke Doty is just 12th in the SEC in quarterback rating, third from last. Will the Gamecocks offense be able to keep up with Tennessee's offense? Will the Gamecocks defense be able to slow down Tennessee's offense in their own building? That's what makes this matchup intriguing as well. That outside of the off-the-field storylines of the head coaches competing with one another, once they actually take the field, you have one of the better offenses in the SEC against a Gamecocks defense that has been really good. South Carolina has struggled to score points. They may not be able to keep up in a track meet, but hopefully defensively they can try to slow down Tennessee. And Tennessee likes to go at a fast pace, which can be good or bad. It can be really good when they're clicking. It can be bad when they're not. If your defense is up to the test and you can keep them from scoring and you keep getting the football back, that can help a struggling offense. I compared it earlier this week to, a fast break offense in basketball. That doesn't really care what you do when you have the basketball. They just want the basketball in their hands, and they want to get up and down the floor and shoot a bunch of threes. But if you do a good job defensively and you keep them from making those threes, even if you have a struggling offense, well, now you just gain more possessions. And as your defense keeps them at a lower point total, your offense can try to catch up. For South Carolina, obviously the key tomorrow is that defense. How do you handle the fast-paced offense from Tennessee that has done a good job scoring points this year? Can you allow your offense to hang in there? Can you give your offense some extra possessions? Can you force a quick three and out and get Tennessee's defense right back on there? Because Tennessee likes to move quickly. And if you keep them from getting a first down, they could have a 90-second possession, give it right back to you. Their defense is back on the field. It's how you actually try to tire them out in the process. They're trying to tire you out. You can flip the script on them. It'll come down to the Gamecocks' defense on the road against Tennessee's offense. But as we're half of a season into this season for these two first-year head coaches, South Carolina and Tennessee both have kind of done what they were expected to. They've won the games they should. They've lost the games they should. But I would say for Tennessee, the calling card, of course, is their offense, and their offense has performed pretty well. Now, Will Muschamp, you know, maybe not the biggest shoes to fill if you're Shane Beamer. When you come in and you take a new job, you always want to do better than the person you're replacing. And Shane Beamer probably will be able to do so. The one thing Will Muschamp leaves behind is that he's the only coach since these two have been in the SEC together to actually have a winning record against Tennessee. Remember, the Gamecocks lost over, you know, 10 straight in a row against Tennessee back in their heyday. Steve Spurrier, even in his time, was only 500 against Tennessee. Will Muschamp was the only coach for the Gamecocks in the last 30 years to actually have a winning record against Tennessee. Now, of course, Tennessee's been down. They're not the same program they have been the last half century than they were in the 90s. That helps. But that's kind of the one thing that maybe Muschamp has. He always would reel off the stats about most wins, first 2 or 3 years, whatever that number was. He can also say he's the only coach since they've been in the same conference playing every year for the Gamecocks to have a winning record against. And now for Shane Beamer, I think similar, you'll be compared in large part how you do with Tennessee. Will you be expected to beat Georgia every year? Of course not. Florida? No. Even Kentucky. Those are games you should win, but at this point, Kentucky has passed you by. They've won, what is it, 7 of the last 8? They've turned themselves into a good football program. Maybe that's not even a fair comparison at this point. But Tennessee is a program that also has been in flux, has underachieved, won only 3 games last year, hired a new coach this offseason, young guy. Beamer and Heupel are 1 year apart. They both have ties to Oklahoma. Similar guys, young, more offensive minds, who are brought in part because of the familiarity they had with the ADs who are making the decisions. These are the games that you'll be judged by. If you're new on a job, right, they shouldn't compare you to a veteran who's been there 20 years. But they can compare you to someone else who started around the same time as you and say, you know, you're kind of falling behind. You both started. You both came in. You're taking over maybe tough positions, but this guy's he's picking it up a lot quicker. He's a lot further ahead of you already. You got to catch up. The Gamecocks, granted, are on the road. They're a double-digit underdog, maybe not expected to win this game on paper, but it's a game you have to at least compete in. And to do so, they'll have to try to slow down that Tennessee offense that was clicking on all cylinders, firing on all cylinders last week, and has been one of the best in the SEC so far. It'll be a very interesting game tomorrow. South Carolina, they've won the games they should. They've lost the games they should. Kentucky was the other measuring stick game. You had them at home, but as I said, all offseason and getting ready for that game, Kentucky, I think, is, you know, certainly a step ahead, at least a step ahead of the Gamecocks. You've lost a bunch of those games lately. This is the one. You've won more than you've lost against Tennessee the last 5 years. New coach. They've been struggling, even though you're on the road. A big measuring stick game tomorrow for South Carolina. Halfway through the first season, it's like a report card. Right, halfway through the semester, you were in school. They'd send home the report cards to your parents and let your parents know how you were doing. They weren't the final grades. They provided you some insight and an opportunity to fix some things before the final permanent grades, right before the end of the year. Here's a little litmus test midway through the year. This is the report card. They send it home. Ah, he's doing good here. He's not doing good here. He's screwing around in class. All right, we better fix these things if we want to be where we hope to be at the end of the year. If we want the grades we're supposed to have by year's end. For South Carolina, you go up against Tennessee tomorrow, midway point of the season, first-year head coach on each side. Okay, here's the chance to measure yourself against them, see where you are, see what you have to work on, what you have to fix by year's end to get those better grades. Coming up, this may not be one of the most interesting games in college football this weekend, at least nationally, but I'm very intrigued by Tennessee and South Carolina. When we come back, I will let you know the best games of the football weekend. Plus, a big weekend for the Big Ten. We'll get to that. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Coming up, the best games of the football weekend. I'll let you know in just a moment here on the Mara Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Plus, an important weekend for the Big Ten. We'll get into that, of course, here throughout our little list coming up. I'll give you my official picks coming up a little bit later on this afternoon, but don't forget, you still have time to make your picks as well. Our weekly Pick'em contest continues. Make your picks by 5 p.m. today, and you have the chance to be a winner of a FanZone gift card if you get the most correct. Head on over to charlestonsportsradio.com. Make your picks by 5 p.m. today for a chance to win this weekend for our weekly Pick'em contest. It goes on all football season long. Every Friday on the show, we get ready for the football weekend. I power rank the five most interesting games of the football weekend. We do a combination of college and NFL. This is a big weekend for the Big Ten. More on that in a moment. But let's get to our top five games of the college, or I should say, just football weekend in general. Let me give you the top five. Number five, Michigan-Nebraska. This is the fifth most interesting game of the football weekend because Michigan, so, you know, quietly creeping into the conversation as they are ranked ninth. They're a top 10 team heading into the weekend. Why this game is intriguing is because they take on Nebraska. And we have already punted on Nebraska because the way their season starts. Our first impressions can always be huge. Michigan's only a 3-point favorite, granted on the road against Nebraska, who has been playing better football of late. So you have an undefeated Michigan team. And they go on the road to Nebraska, who played Oklahoma to a one-score game, played a ranked Michigan State to a field goal. Even their other loss to Illinois was by one score. All three losses have been by one score, and they're coming off a 49-point victory in the conference last week. Is Nebraska going to beat Michigan tomorrow? I wouldn't go that far. But there's a reason why Michigan, as the top 10 team, is favored by only three against Nebraska. We all gave up on Nebraska after that embarrassing week one, or actually week zero, standalone game. Everybody's watching. They looked lousy, and you thought, oh, yeah, Nebraska, they're still bad. They've been playing a lot better football since. And if Harbaugh finds a way to lose this game, imagine what the rhetoric will be next week. This is Michigan's chance. Number nine team, undefeated. College football wide open this year. Here's the chance for Michigan to creep into that playoff conversation. But you can't lose a game like this tomorrow against Nebraska. I think it's a sneaky good game. On ABC tomorrow night, 7:30 kickoff. I think it's very interesting. Number four, we go to the NFL. Chargers-Browns. This is in the late window. Both teams are 3-1. Both teams with young quarterbacks and playoff aspirations. Now, the Chargers, 3-1, are coming off a short week. Nice win on Monday Night Football. Could easily be undefeated. And the Browns, despite being 3-1, right, last week scored only 7 points. Baker Mayfield did not play well. He's banged up, playing with a injured shoulder, and then also labrum, whatever. He's been injured the last 2 weeks. Now he goes on the road to the Chargers. Big game in the late window on Sunday. And these are two teams that are battling for, you know, that up-and-coming spot. We know the Chiefs have ruled the AFC the last couple of years. The Bills are kind of already in that category. Now the Browns and the Chargers are waiting to get their opportunity. They're waiting to be put on that same level. And the winner of Sunday's game, assuming they play well in the process, right, it could go a long way for them to make their case to throw their hat in the ring at the top of the AFC. Number three of the most interesting games this weekend, Oklahoma-Texas, whatever we're calling this these days, the showdown. Right, they don't want to use
Still the Red River Shootout.
All right.
Red River Shootout. Say.
Red River Showdown, whatever you want to call it. It's a big game. It's number three on our list this weekend. Now, Texas is playing good football as well. Two ranked teams. Oklahoma's played a lot of close games this year. The scary part, kind of like what Corey McCartney was saying yesterday about the Brewers, as we get ready for the Braves-Brewers, and how you fear, as bad of a season as they've had, you fear Christian Yelich and Jackie Bradley Jr. waking up in a big moment. For Oklahoma, they have not played their best football yet. You fear that things start to come together as early as tomorrow in this game. Texas can score a lot of points. Their defense isn't very good. And offensively, Texas is led by their run game, while Oklahoma's rushing defense is top 10. So an intriguing game tomorrow. Of course, it's a rivalry. Two teams on their way out of the conference and two teams that are battling towards the top of the Big 12. Oklahoma, if you look at ESPN's FPI projections, Oklahoma is the only team in the Big 12 that has greater than a 4% chance of making the playoff this year. They're not buying into Oklahoma State right now. But if Oklahoma loses even just one game, those chances certainly minimize. They can't lose to Texas tomorrow. Number two on the list, Penn State, Iowa. This is the game of the day in college football. Penn State and Iowa, two top five teams, 4 o'clock kickoff on Fox, being played at Iowa. And it's just the second time in the last 50-plus years we have a top five matchup in the Big Ten, not including Michigan or Ohio State. A very intriguing game. Iowa's only favored by 1.5. More on this game in just a moment, but it's the game of the weekend in college football, number two overall. Because number one, I'm going Chiefs-Bills Sunday night football. And I think this is a huge game in the NFL because the Chiefs, for number one, are only 500. And the Bills have been nipping at their heels, trying to catch up to them. It's a rematch of last year's AFC title game. And now it's in Kansas City, Sunday night football, so you know it's automatically a big deal. The Chiefs, if they lose, would be 2-3 and would be coming off a loss to the Bills, where you could start to have some serious concerns about the Chiefs. And if the Bills are passing them by here in the AFC this year, the Chiefs' defense has been very poor. The Bills' defense has been very good. And Buffalo lost week one against the Steelers. As I always say, week one is the biggest toss-up. Since then, three straight victories by over 20 points. But the Bills, for those three wins, have come against nobody. The Dolphins, the Washington football team, and the Texans. Three teams that are a combined 3-9. This will be their first true test. Sunday night football on the road against Kansas City. Show us what the Bills, what you are truly made of Sunday night. And for the Chiefs, a big spot for them. They have not been playing great football this year. Here's a big moment for them. National TV, the Bills coming in and trying to take their crown. Can you defend your castle in Kansas City on Sunday night football as still the premier team, despite your early season struggles, the premier team of the AFC? Two young, exciting quarterbacks, fun offenses. It'll be a lot of fun Sunday night on NBC. And that's the Tasty Top 5, the five most interesting games of the football weekend. Iowa, Penn State, obviously the game of the day in college football tomorrow. It's a big weekend for the Big Ten. Most notably because of this game, but also that Michigan game I mentioned. That right now, the Big Ten has five teams to keep an eye on when it comes to winning the Big Ten and becoming a playoff team. And there's a chance the Big Ten could very well have two teams. We could end up with a playoff of two SEC teams, two Big Ten teams. It'd be like the SEC versus the Big Ten Challenge. You have Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, Ohio State, and Iowa are the five teams to keep an eye on in the Big Ten. Michigan cannot cross their names off that list with an upset loss against a Nebraska tomorrow. But as I said, that's a sneaky, good game. Keep an eye out on that one. Michigan, I'm not going to say they're going to lose because I would pick them to win, but I do put them on upset alert. Whereas Alabama, I think, cruises this week. I think Georgia cruises this week. I think Michigan could be in for a struggle tomorrow, even in a victory. But you can't lose that game. And then you have Iowa-Penn State. It's like a showcase for the Big Ten tomorrow. Two top five teams trying to show, hey, maybe we are just as good as Georgia and Alabama. I think Iowa wins this game tomorrow. It helps that they're at home against Penn State. But for Iowa, they have the next best defense in the country right behind Georgia. And they're led by getting turnovers. They already have 15 forced turnovers this season. Sean Clifford is a turnover-prone quarterback. That's what got him in trouble last year. And Iowa's really good against the run. Penn State hasn't been able to run it very well this year. So I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on Clifford, and he's going to be baited into some mistakes. Penn State has a very aggressive defense. They try to force the action. They'll come after the quarterback. Iowa is just a very good defense. If you watch them, they're not overly aggressive. They're just a well-sound, disciplined defense. You have to move slowly down the field against them, and eventually you're going to force something. You're just going to make a mistake. When you have to go on 12-play drives, eventually, right, you're going to screw up somewhere. There's going to be a penalty. You're going to get sacked. Someone's going to drop a pass. Quarterback's going to try to fit one into a tight window. That's kind of where they get their turnovers. A lot of defenses can be aggressive and force you into mistakes. Iowa is just a overall good defense that it's so hard to play consistently well against that eventually you're going to turn the football over from time to time. And I think at home tomorrow, wild crowd, good defense against Clifford, I think they will be able to get some turnovers out of him in this game. And then Iowa's offense isn't overly dynamic, but they play with some of the shortest fields in the country because of all those turnovers. And if they get a couple from Penn State, it helps out their offense, short fields. They get some easy points. I think Iowa wins this game. But I also think there's less pressure on Iowa because when you look at that West Division, it's not very good in the Big Ten. Iowa can afford a loss, still get to the Big Ten title game. And if they win the Big Ten championship with one loss, I still think you're putting a one-loss Big Ten champion in the playoff. Meanwhile, for Penn State, if they lose in the East, right, that really muddies the water there. Because you also have Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, it's an arms race. You can't afford many losses. And if you're Penn State, you still have to face Ohio State and Michigan and Michigan State at the end of the year. And then the Big Ten Championship. You can't afford very many losses in that division if you just want to get to the Big Ten Championship. Penn State, I think, needs this game more than Iowa. So there's more pressure on Penn State. They're on the road. I just don't think they're as good as Iowa. I think Iowa wins the game. And by the way, don't forget about Ohio State either. For the same reasons I just laid out, in that East Division, it's still wide open, and all these teams have to play one another. Ohio State's season is still right in front of them because they still play Michigan and Michigan State and Penn State, and they get two of those three at home. They still control their own destiny. They beat all those teams. They could go to the Big Ten Championship by winning the division and then just go try to beat an Iowa in the Big Ten Championship, and you're a playoff team. We're not focusing on Ohio State because they have the one loss out of those five top teams of the Big Ten. But their season is still right in front of them. It's an interesting weekend in the Big Ten. It's an interesting stretch right now for the Big Ten. Five good teams that are battling with one another. We'll talk about South Carolina and Tennessee when we come back. We'll get the opponent's scouting report from someone who covers Tennessee when we return. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the time of the season when love runs high. In this time, give it to me easy and let me try with pleasured hands to take you.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We get ready for South Carolina and Tennessee tomorrow. And joining us now to provide the opponent's scouting report, break this one down, is Mike Wilson. Follow him on Twitter at @ByMikeWilson. He covers Tennessee, and he's with us now. Mike, good afternoon. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you guys for having me on today.
Yeah, appreciate the time. Interesting game tomorrow for South Carolina with Tennessee. And I said even go back to when the schedule came out, I thought this was the game to circle if you're South Carolina as a measuring stick in year one of Shane Beamer. Because on the other side, you have Tennessee now with a coach in his first year as well. Two programs that struggled last year. My question for you would be, from the Tennessee side, is it viewed similar to try to see how you can stack up, you know, where you are halfway through year one against another first-year head coach in this division?
Yeah, I think it's really similar. I think the one wrench that got thrown kind of in that evaluation process is how Tennessee played last week at Mizzou, because I think that was kind of a comparable feeling. I think there were, you know, four games probably on Tennessee's schedule that you said, all right, those are the games that are going to make or break this season. They lost one of those to Pitt. They beat Missouri soundly last weekend in what I thought was the second one of those. And this is the next one, South Carolina. I mean, this is a game that for Tennessee you kind of have to win if you want to be in the mix for a bowl game at the end of the season. And yeah, it's definitely one that you're going to get a feel for where this team is and if they can keep building on what they did last week.
Yeah, so let's try to find out where this team is heading into the game. That victory last week against Missouri, how much of that was Tennessee on offense compared to, you know, Missouri on defense? Missouri obviously responded by firing one of their defensive coaches. So when we look back at that game last week, I mean, how much of that was just execution from Tennessee's offense?
Yeah, typically it's other schools getting Tennessee's coaches fired, so it's a different change of dynamic there to see it go the other way. Missouri's bad defensively, and I think everyone knew that going in. They gave up around 280 yards per game on the ground entering that game, and then Tennessee ran for 460. 92-yard run will help those numbers, obviously, but yeah, Tennessee was able to do what it wanted when it wanted offensively. But I thought the thing that you definitely give all the credit to Tennessee for is they executed the plays that were there, which is something they struggled with through the first four games, was missing some plays, wide receivers dropping at the wrong time, quarterback overthrowing at the wrong time. So they made the plays that were there. And you kind of got to see Josh Heupel's offense look like what it's supposed to when they're moving fast and executing at the same time.
Yeah, you mentioned that fast-paced offense. They have a veteran quarterback. And really, offensively, they've scored in all games this year except against Florida. You know, the South Carolina defense has been pretty tough. They may be tested tomorrow. But from your perspective, do you have an idea of how you think this Gamecock defense specifically can match up, or vice versa, how the Tennessee offense can match up with this South Carolina defense tomorrow?
Yeah, I think this is probably the best defensive line unit that Tennessee's seen this season. I mean, Florida's was pretty good. Pitts was a veteran group, but I think when you look at a Kingsley Mbare type, I mean, you're seeing a different caliber of player here, and they've got a lot of veterans up there too. I'm very interested in that matchup. I haven't been convinced that Tennessee's offensive line is great as a pass blocking unit. So this to me is when you're going to find out if they are or not. And yeah, that's the matchup I'm kind of interested in watching, is that up front group. But I really do like the way that Hendon Hooker's playing. I like the way that Tennessee is able to run the ball. That's something they were able to do at Florida as well. So yeah, I think it's an offense that's figuring out what it's supposed to do and how it's supposed to do it.
Tennessee likes to go quickly offensively. Shane Beamer's talked about this a lot this week and the challenges that bring. But what about on the other side for Tennessee? Because I think back, and maybe it's not a fair comp, but I think back to like a Chip Kelly, you know, always liked to move quickly, and it didn't always help his defense. His defense could struggle, especially in the NFL. My question would be, for Tennessee's defense, how have they performed this year, and what should we expect from that side of the football tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, that's the unit that was interesting going into this year. The linebackers were the big question mark. A lot of returners, both on the defensive line and in the secondary, but not necessarily returners that had excelled in their careers. The secondary has been playing very well. Theo Jackson, who's kind of a nickelback slash safety guy, is playing the best football of his career. But the unit that's really surprised me is the defensive line. Lots of veterans there. I think they had four or five guys that it took advantage of that extra year due to the COVID pandemic to come back. And guys are playing well. They've really elevated, and I think Tennessee's third in the SEC in tackle for loss, which is definitely not something I expected to see coming into this season, because it was just a group that last year really struggled to be disruptive, but they seem to have found more ways to do that this year so far.
Getting ready for Tennessee and South Carolina tomorrow with Mike Wilson, who covers Tennessee. He's on Twitter at @ByMikeWilson. You can read his work online. Get ready for the game tomorrow. How do you see this? I'll be honest, I was surprised when I saw the line at 10.5. I think it's still around there for tomorrow's game. I don't know if that's an overreaction to Tennessee's big win last week, but how do you view this game? Do you think Tennessee right now, they are double-digit points better than South Carolina heading into tomorrow?
I think I picked it even higher than that. If, I can't remember my exact score prediction, but we do those every week, and I definitely picked Tennessee to cover. I do think they're playing well offensively. I think Hendon Hooker has given them the dynamic they needed at quarterback with the ability to run, but also making downfield throws that Joe Milton was missing in the first couple games. I do think what you saw against Missouri is hard to replicate because of how bad that defense was and how perfect Tennessee played offensively, essentially. But I do think that Tennessee's playing some pretty darn good football right now, and I'm not overly surprised to see that spread, just given that South Carolina's offense hasn't scored a lot, and Tennessee is now showing it has the ability to do so.
Stepping away from tomorrow's game specifically for just a few moments, for Tennessee, I have spent time in the past with Josh. I like him, you know, just personally. So far, half of a season into his tenure, what's the feeling around the program? Tennessee fans, people close to the program, how optimistic are they with how this whole tenure has started so far for this coaching staff?
Well, anytime you score 62 points in a game, you're going to make a lot of friends.
Yeah.
And I think that's certainly the feeling heading out of that week into this one. Just because last year's team scored, I think, 22, 24 a game, and that was kind of the standard for 3 years under Jeremy Pruitt. It was just really bad offenses. So seeing that's been positive. I think Heupel is liked in Knoxville. I mean, he's a likable guy, nice guy. Seems more like a normal dude, you know, than an SEC football coach. And I think that's been refreshing to this fan base after, you know, Jeremy Pruitt just being a football guy, Butch Jones being a gimmick guy. He kind of got someone who I think just resonates a little bit differently. But I think there's also the understanding that Tennessee, from a talent perspective, is in the bottom third of the SEC probably, just in terms of what's on the roster. And I mean, that takes time to replenish that, and I think, you know, looking at what Heupel has to do and the expectations, you're going to have to hit the transfer portal pretty hard for the next couple years while you try to build anything out of where Tennessee currently is.
Yeah, you mentioned that bottom third. I mean, South Carolina in an arms race here to try to pass some teams by in the SEC, and Tennessee's there where they can try to pass Tennessee here in the next couple of years and climb in that SEC East. you know, a lot of people believe in the roller coaster theory. However many years you were down, it'll take that many years to get back up. For Tennessee, what do you see here in terms of this kind of a rebuild? Maybe that's too strong of a word, but, you know, how long of a process do you think this could be to get Tennessee back to where they'd like to be?
It's tough. It's tough when you look at Tennessee just because they need to replenish talent. I mean, they were hurt heavily by the transfer portal this offseason. I mean, for obvious reasons, going through a coaching staff turnover, NCAA investigation being a thing. Whenever those things are going on, it's tough to know what's next. So Tennessee saw a major exodus. I do think that goes back to the transfer portal thought. I think Tennessee can make itself competitive through the transfer portal. But the big question mark around Heupel has been the recruiting element. Didn't ever seem to really recruit exceptionally at UCF, which you are, you know, that next tier of program in that state. It's a very talent-rich state nonetheless. So how he and his staff recruit is going to say a lot about how quickly and how well they are able to kind of restock and rebuild Tennessee to a place where, you know, they can get back to winning 8-9 games a year, which was kind of the peak under Butch Jones. And that's been the peak for the last decade or so. So there's definitely a long work. To specifically answer your question, I mean, it's easy to look at it and say you need 3 to 4 years to evaluate where Josh Heupel is and what Tennessee has built at that point.
We'll let you get out of here on this one. For tomorrow to go sideways for Tennessee, what would need to happen? What if South Carolina wins the game tomorrow and you sit down to write the story afterwards, what would you imagine you'd be writing about that would allow South Carolina to win this on the road?
Yeah, I think turnovers is probably what I would focus on there. South Carolina's done a great job at turning the ball over, and Tennessee's done really well the last 2 weeks at not turning it over. I don't believe they have a turnover in the last 2 weeks. Hendon Hooker, I think, has a 10-to-1 touchdown interception ratio. So, yeah, to me, that's where that game could flip. If Tennessee struggles to take care of the ball and South Carolina is able to take advantage of those moments.
Well, we'll see how things go tomorrow. He's Mike Wilson, covers Tennessee for the Knoxville News Sentinel. You can follow him on Twitter at @ByMikeWilson and read his work online to get ready for tomorrow's game. Mike, appreciate the time and the insight, and enjoy that game tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Hey, pleasure's all ours. Appreciate it. Mike Wilson from the Tennessee side of things. As on our Football Fridays, we try to bring in somebody from the other side of the matchup to get that opponent scouting report and breaking it down for the Tennessee side tomorrow against the Gamecocks. The obvious matchup to watch, of course, is that Tennessee offense against South Carolina's defense. That's South Carolina's strength, and that's Tennessee's strength. You got strength versus strength. And can you slow them down? Veteran quarterback in Hendon Hooker there transferred in for Tennessee. And Tennessee, by the way, they have more first downs than anybody in the SEC. I told you that they're second in yards, fourth in points, but first in first downs more than Alabama or Lane Kiffin or Georgia or anyone else. They move quickly. They string together some drives. They can be an explosive offense, but they're going up against a good defense. South Carolina's defense has been really good. So they'll be tested tomorrow on the road. That line is double digits. Mike thinks it's going to be even a higher final score than what Vegas thinks. We'll see how it plays out tomorrow. I think that'd be a bad case scenario, though, for South Carolina. If you go there on the road and you lose, you look like Missouri last week, right? You lose by 17 points. I don't think that would be good. 6 games into these tenures to show that Heupel's offense and team is that far advanced already in that arms race to catch up in the SEC East. Hey, speaking of this matchup, things got a little personal on one ESPN TV show this week. We'll get to that when we come back as we wrap up hour one. It's the More Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Yo, what up?
What's the word, big fella? Everything's good on this end.
Hey, Luke, how's it going? Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, Luke. Hey, man. Pleasure to be on your show.
I'm doing great, but I'm hoping you could call me Boca Baby.
Great show. You did a good job.
Hey, you're turning into rapidly my favorite person I've interviewed with, and I've done like 50 of these in the last week.
You've done your homework. I like it. I absolutely like it. I love that.
Another great thought.
You've done your homework, haven't you? Good job.
You've always get these big stars and important people on. That's great to hear. We like to hear the interviews.
You know, it's uncanny how you do this, Luke. And I don't know how you do, because I do this gauntlet of radio on Thursdays, where I do all these different cities. Many of them need their hosts to have me give them some talking points. You hit all my talking points every week. It's uncanny how good you are.
Always great talking football with you, Luke. Appreciate you guys being right.
Very impressive.
Shout out to all the people in Charleston that support the show.
Tell your friends. Tell your friends.
Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Go ahead, boy. That's why you bring it on.
Is this a sports show or a dancing show?
I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what we're doing around here.
Lunch with Luke for 3 hours. Anything goes.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Hour one on a Football Friday here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Get to my picks coming up later on this afternoon. Appreciate the time. Last segment from Mike Wilson, who covers Tennessee. You can get to him on Twitter at @ByMikeWilson. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcasts, to get Mike's breakdown of Tennessee for tomorrow's game. So on Out of the Pocket, a show on the SEC Network, it features Alyssa Lang, who is a graduate of South Carolina, and it's co-hosted by Andrea Carter, who played basketball at the University of Tennessee. So, of course, this is on their show, a little bit of a rivalry week with these two teams facing one another tomorrow. So on the show this week, they had a little bit of a roast session where they would go at one another with some disses about them personally and also about their schools. Here's how it sounded. Alyssa Lang representing South Carolina, Andrea Carter from Tennessee, those two getting ready for the game tomorrow.
We are going to have some good fun. It's all in good fun. The goal is to not laugh. We're going to clown each other, and we're going to clown each other's schools.
Tennessee, South Carolina, hate week.
Tennessee, South Carolina, it's hate week. Goal is to not laugh. All right, you ready?
Okay, you go first.
What separates a good team from a great team?
What?
The Georgia-South Carolina border.
You know, they say pets take on their owners' personalities. Yeah. No surprise you have a snake named Nothing.
Marvel told me he wishes you were the one that moved away.
It's funny, I wasn't on a roster in college, but we both came out with the same amount of minutes.
What do you call a Gamecock that didn't get into Virginia Tech journalism school?
What?
Alyssa Lang.
The only thing worse than those orange and white checkered overalls are your bumps to break.
This show was so good, they brought me in to help you this season.
Sound like I got a little personal there. Andrea Carter from Tennessee, Alyssa Lang from South Carolina on Out of the Pocket on SEC Network this week, getting ready for tomorrow's game. It starts off with the very first one. What's the difference, or what separates a good football program from a great football program? The Georgia-South Carolina border? That's pretty good. The jab about the South Carolina journalism school compared to Virginia Tech. I don't know if that was because Alyssa actually tried to go to Virginia Tech. I don't know if it's because I didn't grow up in this area. I'm not familiar with the Virginia Tech School of Journalism. I don't know if that's like a premier school to go to around here. She, of course, a graduate of South Carolina. But then a good dig, too, if we were power ranking, was also the line thrown back at Andrea about I wasn't on a roster, but I still played just as many minutes in college as she was part of the Tennessee women's basketball team. It's personal. Kicking off tomorrow, Tennessee and South Carolina. And for South Carolina, an opportunity to showcase themselves on the road for both these teams, right? As you try to dig yourself up, you can't even include Vanderbilt. You'll always be ahead of Vanderbilt, but you're trying to catch up to Florida, Georgia, and now even Kentucky. And Missouri you can throw in that same group as well, although Missouri has been better off the last year and a half than these two. But you're trying to climb over one another. You're trying to step on the other to get out of that bottom third of the division or conference. And with the first-year head coaches squaring off for the first time tomorrow, this is kind of the start of it. Big game for the Gamecocks on the road. Coming up, We'll preview all the games in week 5 of the NFL schedule. We'll get ready for this weekend in the NFL season coming up. My picks later on this afternoon and a whole lot more. Hour 2 next. It's the Mara Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.